Have you been wondering how to affordably fix that crack in your wall or any plaster repairs? Well, Leo is your man. Recently relocated to the Cleveland area from Rhode Island, Leo is an expert in this field with over 30 years' experience, especially on those difficult ceiling or wall textures. Call Leo at 401-651-5757 and be sure to save his number. Once again, that's 401-651-5757.
Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my best friend and gifted Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford.
And I as well wish you all a hearty shalom. You know, that peace that passes all understanding that only our Lord can give us in these turbulent days. So let's ask him to do that.
Okay. Abba, Father, we praise and worship you alone. We ask for your shalom and guidance in all areas of our life. We pray for President Trump that he makes the right decisions to ultimately fulfill your will. May you show merciful favor to the many prayer requests of your saints whose eyes are fixed on you. May tonight's program be blessing to your ears. And we ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, to start out, whatever happened to attorney-client privilege of confidentiality?
Well, you know, that only unless they think fraud is a possibility.
Oh, it only applies?
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently it is. But right now, our president has so much to deal with. This is so sad and really irrelevant to the job he's doing. You know, we all know he has flaws. But honestly, his personal life from 12 years ago, before he knew the Lord, is, as he says, a witch hunt from the left to disrupt his presidency.
Yeah, you know, God help him.
Mm-hmm. And we certainly need to comment on yet another chemical weapons attack in Syria, who most are, as expected, blaming it on President Assad, again, with no real proof.
Like he's the only one in the Middle East to have them.
For sure.
Yeah.
In fact, General Mattis, just a few months ago, admitted that they had no real proof Assad did last year's attack.
That's right, he did.
That's right. Still, last year, without positive proof, President Trump too quickly sent our Tomahawk cruise missiles into Syria, attacking its airbase. And think about this. Just 2 weeks ago, as we mentioned last week, President Trump surprisingly said he wanted to pull out of Syria within 6 months, setting a timetable, even though during his campaign he said that was the worst thing to tell the enemy when you are leaving.
Yeah, that surprised a lot of people.
Especially the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
We also said last week there was no way the United States would leave the Kurds high and dry, especially after helping us with ISIS. Also, we do have military bases in Syria that no one wants to talk about. Now, unless, as I said last time, there is a plan to bomb Damascus.
Well, which Isaiah 17 says that will happen at some point.
Right. But here's the thing. Many alternative news outlets have been predicting for weeks that there would be another false flag, and a chemical attack. So they can blame Assad, and that would justify taking him out, as the elite has wanted to do for years.
Yeah, you know, and we know that's a fact.
Yeah, because Assad, before this civil war, this right now one, refused to let Western powers backing Saudi Arabia install underground oil pipelines, but instead told Russia they could. Hence, Russia's aiding Assad and Iran, and that's a big no-no.
And he's paying a price. He's been paying a price ever since.
Right. So here's the deal. It really makes no sense for Assad to attack his people.
Because it would keep us there even longer.
Right. And actually, they all want us to leave. Russia, Iran, Turkey, and Syria. They want us out of there. But now, we're there. And we, of course, want to take out Assad. Now, here are some facts. The SAA, which is Assad's army, had 90% of eastern Ghouta captured within a few weeks' time. In fact, faster than anyone expected. And was already negotiating with rebels in Douma to leave because Assad's army had them completely surrounded, with the remainders of Damascus suburbs almost fully secured without any further bloodshed.
So he was winning, and the elite won't stand for that.
That's how I see it. Why would Assad risk all that, throw it all away with a meaningless chemical weapons attack on Douma, of all places? In a strategic or tactical sense, it would hinder his progress. So the deep state, or whatever you want to call them, repeats another chemical weapons attack. And they don't care who gets killed in the process. We need to examine the facts and verify without a doubt who is really responsible. Unfortunately, just like a year ago, we and our allies, who are expected to help us, will not wait on the real facts to emerge. If we strike big, like in Damascus, we can expect big retaliation.
And actually, America is not ready for World War III.
I agree. Yep.
You know, this is dangerous territory we're getting into.
Yeah. So, we say, wait for the truth, as Tucker Carlson said last night on his show, and is the only one yesterday on TV that I heard make this argument. Finally, this morning, I did hear on Fox Business Channel, retired General McInerney, he actually said that we should verify first because the al-Nusra terrorist group was looking for chlorine gas about 2 months ago, according to his intelligence. So every day it becomes more obvious that the demonic Illuminati globalist deep state is working hard to fulfill its evil agenda,
which we know is a one world government.
Mm-hmm. Maybe President Trump won't fall prey to all this. Of course, that's assuming he is not aware this is a false flag. But he almost has to know what's going on.
He's probably caught between a rock and a hard place.
Undoubtedly. You know, in one of those books that I have read about the elite top globalists is that they let you be yourself to a point, and then they demand certain things, or they'll destroy you, or in some cases kill you, as in JFK and as far back as Abraham Lincoln. And by the way, just a few months ago, an American journalist in Turkey was killed after she discovered the rat line that the CIA was working with Turkey's president to smuggle sarin gas from Libya that was used last year.
Isn't the director of the CIA about to replace Rex Tillerson?
Yes, Mike Pompeo, if he is confirmed. But he's only been the director of the CIA for a year, and Trump appointed him. Maybe Pompeo wanted out because he discovered how really over-the-top crooked the CIA is. And should be noted that Pompeo was a member of the Tea Party while a congressman from Kansas. And actually, I had hoped he'd clean up the CIA. But perhaps he found out that this just can't happen.
Also, let us not bypass the fact that Israel and Saudi Arabia were not happy when Trump said we were leaving Syria.
Yes, they both need us to help push back Iran, who is, by the way, making very good progress in Syria with many bases and on the Golan Heights border as well. Of course, they are hiding under the cover of Russian bases, but Israel knows better and continues to launch missiles into Syria. As on Sunday, the day after the chemical attack. They are trying to stop weapons going to Lebanon's Hezbollah from Iran. But they did kill four Iranians, including a Revolutionary Guard colonel, who's a member of the Guards Aerospace Force. That's not making Iran very happy. Meanwhile, we have the National Guard at our southern borders now to control illegal immigrants and drugs from entering. But if the cartels can't smuggle their goods through the border, drugs will find another way. You know, there are still trains, ships, and private planes.
Well, you know, Satan is very crafty.
Mm-hmm. Another departure from Washington today is Tom Bossert, Homeland Security Advisor. I have to say, this White House has had more first-year departures than any other president in the last 40 years. One last comment. Have you seen how President Trump keeps lambasting Amazon's Jeff Bezos?
Well, could it be because Jeff owns the Washington Post?
Yes. That is the most anti-Trump newspaper in the world.
Yep.
Well, we report, you decide. Just had to say that.
All right. Questions and comments are always welcome to Sheila at ShofarMinistries.net or call the office with your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Please consider tucking in a love offering and we'll be sure to add you to our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
And we will be back in Mentor, Ohio at Lakeshore Assembly of God on Thursday the 19th to continue the PowerPoint presentation on the tabernacle with lots of pictures, focusing on next time the Holy of Holies and the high priest and his garments.
Yes, and tonight we're in the holy place.
Yes. We began this adventure actually 2 weeks ago, starting with the Seder meal, the brazen altar, and the laver in the outer court. We saw the typology of all that and compared that to the washing of the disciples' feet. A very good picture of needing the washing of the water of the word in order to be of any use in the Lord's kingdom.
Yeah, last week you taught on the seven-branched lampstand.
Right. That we, the church, is the typology for that lampstand, according to Revelation 1:20.
The only light in a dark world.
For sure. So tonight we will cover the other two items in the holy place, and that's the table of showbread and the altar of incense, and maybe even the veil if we have enough time. So, after entering through the first veil, which, by the way, had a little door behind it into the room called the Holy Place, we see the seven-branch lampstand, the table of showbread, and the golden altar of incense. Now, this table of showbread contained 12 good-sized portions of pierced bread to represent the 12 tribes, along with a vessel of wine and other utensils, on a gold overlaid table made from a very strong wood. Honey, could you read that in Exodus 25?
Okay. All right. Well, beginning in 23, ye shall make a table of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be its length.
That's about 3 feet.
A cubit its width.
That's 18 inches.
And a cubit and a half its height.
So about 27 inches tall, and that's kind of somewhat short.
And you shall overlay it with pure gold and make a molding of gold all around. You shall make for it a frame of handbreadth all around, and you shall make a gold molding for the frame all around. And you shall make it for, you shall make for it 4 rings of gold and put the rings on the 4 corners that are at its 4 legs. The rings shall be close to the frame as holders for the poles to bear the wood. And you shall make the pieces of poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, that the table may be carried with them. You shall make its dishes, its pans, its pitchers, and its bowls for pouring. You shall make them of pure gold, and you shall set the showbread on the table before me always.
Okay. So, this was their memorial of their covenant, which was eaten each Sabbath and then replaced with new pierced bread that amazingly would stay fresh for a whole week. And just like the lampstand represents Jesus and his church, because he lives in us, the table of showbread represents our new covenant memorialized when we take communion. Jesus is the bread of life who came to earth and showed himself to the people.
Hence the showbread.
Yeah. And directly in front of the second veil that divided the holy place and the holy of holies stood the golden altar of incense. Not very large, 1.5 feet by 1.5 feet and only 3 feet high. Also made from acacia wood, covered in gold, with a golden crown around the entire top. Now the priest, according to their courses,
meaning their designated turns as outlined in 1 Chronicles 24.
Yes. They would burn incense twice a day with specially mixed spices on the hot coals taken from the brazen altar from the outer court. Now, because the brazen altar was lit by God himself when he sent down fire from heaven to officially begin the priestly ministry. From then on, the priests were to keep the fire from the brazen altar burning constantly.
You know, even when they journeyed.
Yes, but not the golden altar of incense. That was burned only twice each day. And when it was moving, it was actually covered with a blue cloth and then a badger skin for added protection, as was the top layer covering the whole tabernacle as its roof all the time. Anyhow, once a year, on the Day of Atonement or Yom Kippur, the high priest would sprinkle the four horns with the blood of the sin offering 7 times before entering the Holy of Holies to commune with God at the mercy seat, which was on the top of the Ark of the Covenant. The special incense found in Exodus 30, verse 34, was the only incense they could use or face death.
As we read about with Aaron's two sons in Leviticus 10.
That's right. Because it's a type of spiritual death to those who pray and worship false gods.
Great typology.
That's right. Also, remember in Luke chapter 1, we read that Zechariah the priest, because it was the week of his course, just prior to Pentecost, he was burning incense in the holy place when the angel told him he and Elizabeth would finally have a son.
John the Baptist.
That's right. Who would help turn many of the children of Israel back to God. Sure enough, 9 months later, at Passover, he was born. And we know Jesus came 6 months after that, which just happens to be the Feast of Tabernacles. How fitting, since Scripture says he came to tabernacle amongst men. No coincidence there. Okay, so remember the tabernacle on earth was to fit the pattern in heaven. And in Revelation 8, John, as part of his vision, sees the golden altar. And an angel then takes some of the incense and throws it to the earth as part of the seventh seal judgments that unleashes the trumpet judgments down on earth. So we've got a few minutes. Let's talk about the veils. There were three. First one is called the gate, and there was only one way into the outer court. The next veil was actually called the door because there is a skinny door right behind the second veil leading into the holy place. And then there is the third veil, and that's just actually called the veil. And with only the exception of the embroidered cherubim, all three veils were otherwise made the same. Fine woven linen with blue and scarlet and purple woven in. Beautiful colors. So, what do these colors mean? Well, blue represents heaven, and scarlet represents the red earth that made Adam. When you combine heaven with earth, you get the color purple. So, you have Jesus, who came from the blue heaven to the red earth as a man, represented by the purple. Again, everything points to Yeshua, even every color. It's totally amazing. This third veil stood between the ark and the altar of incense. It hung on four gold hooks in four sockets of silver on four pillars of acacia wood covered in gold. Again, gold represents royalty of the Godhead. Silver represents his redemption. Wood represents the flesh, and now we are covered in the gold. Wow. Anyway, later in the temple, this very thick veil was torn miraculously from top to bottom when Jesus' side was pierced, opening the way for all his future priests, which we now are, again, according to Revelation 1. So we can all enter now into the Holy of Holies just by spending time with him through his word. If you don't spend time in his word, you can't proceed on. You get stuck, sometimes staying in the outer court. So, when comparing the three compartments of the tabernacle in the other areas of scripture too, as in, for instance, let me give you an example, the armor of God in Ephesians 6. We easily can typify our three levels of Christian maturity. Let me say it again. The outer court, we are first babes who accept Christ's sacrifice, are born in of the Spirit and his heirship. But then we must wash in the water of the word represented by the laver in the outer court, and over time, depending on how long one wants to take, and by the way, as I said, some never care to enter into the holy place, which is the second level of sanctification and the further anointing of the Holy Spirit. And if not already, water baptism is highly desired by this point as an outward open declaration of who you are in Christ. Then if still heavily in his word, the third section of maturity is into the Holy of Holies, now fully sanctified, and your salvation is secure. Because once you get there and understand the fullness of the Lord, your desire is to commune with him unceasingly. The old life is no longer desired, but even though we still must deal with the cares of this life, bathing in his word is now a priority, a constant longing to be in his presence. I know I long to be in his presence. So let me ask you, what part of the tabernacle do you spiritually reside in? Have you even made it yet into the outer court? You know, it's not too late to get in, so to escape the soon coming judgment that's coming on the whole world. Just ask him into your heart a simple but heartfelt prayer. Admit you are a sinner, repent, and then let him have dominion over you instead of the God of this world. So get humbly on your knees right now. Just do it. I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for our president and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, they'll prosper in all ways. Memorize Psalm 122, verse 6. It will bless you. Again, have a good week. Tune in next time. God bless and shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.